I asked them, do you ever sit and just become so completely immersed in prayer that you feel that you can actually hear God answering you? And we talked about how rare it is that we actually just are so tuned in that we feel that we can hear that voice. So why is that? Why is it that it's so hard for us to hear that voice? In the Old Testament times, they thought God was silent and that he didn't speak very often. So do we think that God is silent more often than God is obvious? Or do we think maybe we're distracted and we don't always hear what God is saying because of all the noise that we are making? So we're talking about distractions today and how they impact our spiritual lives. And we will also talk about what distractions are actually worth stopping for. So the gospel lesson this week, you heard two stories. Have you ever actually considered those two stories together before? I'm just curious, because I had not myself considered them as a unit, the story of the Good Samaritan and the story of Mary and Martha. They seem like a little odd to put together, maybe, right? And so Luke, the author of Luke, had several things that he was kind of notorious for. One of those things was that he would try and keep balance in the scripture by having a story that was male lead characters paired with a story that was female lead characters. He tried to keep that balance between the genders represented in his text, which is something we don't even realize, but it's true of him from way back then. But he also paired things together to where, even though each story could have a standalone point, when we put them together, we might find even a new one. The Good Samaritan we use a lot, right? The kids at Rich Hill today used toilet paper and acted it out. It was all kinds of fun. And we've seen it, and we've heard it, and it has a lesson for us. The story of Mary and Martha has a lesson, and we always hear them by themselves. But when we put them together, can we find a common denominator into two such very different stories? What is it that Jesus would like us to hear? So in the beginning of Luke 10, before we even get to today's lesson where it started, Jesus had sent out 70 people to do the work. Last week we were talking about Jesus sent out just the disciples to heal and to cast out demons, and we saw how things went for them. Right after that, Jesus sent out 70 more people in pairs to go and preach the gospel and heal people of their infirmities. Well, these 70 people returned to Jesus and said, things are going well. We've been successful in our missions. At verse 23, Jesus is excited. He says, this is great stuff. Things are going well. But he turns to the disciples, the 12 disciples, and he speaks to them privately off to the side. And he said, blessed are the eyes that have seen what you see. He didn't say seen what you have seen, but see what you see, and the ears that have heard. Because many kings and prophets have wanted to see what you see and have not been able to perceive it, and many have wanted to hear it but didn't. So then we come into verse 25, the beginning of today's lesson. This is immediately after. And I like to use the word immediately here, but you know, Luke uses even different words. Luke was always in a hurry. It was that guy. You know some people that are always in a hurry? Luke was always in a hurry, and he wrote that way. Everything was in a hurry. So he says, just then, Jesus speaks to the disciples, and just then, a legal expert stands up and says, what must I do to gain eternal life? I kind of enjoy that it happened in this order, because I feel like in some ways Jesus was talking to the disciples and says, get ready to hear how this is going to go. You know, blessed are you that you see what you see and you hear what you hear, because this is an example of the kings and the prophets. And so the legal expert says, what must I do? And Jesus is really great at not answering questions. He instead says, well, what do you think the answer is? Do we ever do that to our kids? Oh, what do you think the answer is? And he says, well, you know, from what I know of the scriptures, what I'm supposed to do to achieve eternity is to love the Lord with all my heart, being, strength, and love my neighbor as myself. And Jesus is like, that's right, exactly. Do that. And he's like, yeah, but who's my neighbor? This is the example of the someone who hears and sees, but doesn't. And so Jesus tells him a story. Now, this is another difference between the two. Jesus tells him a story that he's making up where we're going to get to Mary and Martha, and this will be something that actually happened. So that's how they're kind of going to work together and give us a real-life example and a parable, sort of. And so Jesus tells him this story about an example, something that happened on the road between Jericho and Jerusalem. This road between Jericho and Jerusalem was often used in writings by scholars, biblical scholars back in the days, as a euphemism for life. The road between Jerusalem sat at a higher elevation, and Jericho sat lower, and it was a 17-mile trek between. Everybody up for a journey today after church? You want to go 17 miles with me? The joy is it's downhill. The hard part is it was known to be rocky, difficult terrain. There were, you know how you go down to Branson and you have all these rock walls and it's just so pretty when you're driving down the road? Well, they had a lot of rocks surrounding them along the way too, apparently, and there were outcroppings, you know, kind of stick out of the road, which allowed people an opportunity to hide behind those and then come out and harm the folks on the road. So the road itself was known for being a little treacherous just to walk it, a good ankle twister. It was known for being dangerous because there was an opportunity for people to attack you. It was kind of long. And also, if you were someone who would be tempted, there was a lot of places for you to go and get in trouble. So oftentimes, they used that road to represent life because it would have challenges, pitfalls, dangers, temptations. And so Jesus uses this road in his example as he is talking to the man. And he says, imagine that there's this guy, and he's on the road, and he falls prey to the pitfalls of life. And he gives him these two examples of people who come along. And those are the examples of people that we expect to be the ones that would stop and help him, a priest and a Levite. Well, something else we know from history is the priests would serve in Jerusalem, and the wealthy ones often tended to live in Jericho. And so if he was traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho, was he probably headed to or from work? He's going, the temple's in Jerusalem, home's in Jericho. He's traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho. Is he going home or is he going to work? After you get off work, are you anxious to go home? Do you really appreciate it if something really blocks your way and calls upon your spirit to say you need to come and do this? So we can imagine that the priest was probably headed home. He had finished his duties. He had things on his mind. He'd been at work. He was tired. Headed home. Didn't want to deal with it. Levite was also going down the same road. We don't know where he was headed or why. But what they share in common is Levites and the priests both would have been concerned with ritual cleanliness, right? And so if they saw someone who might be dead alongside of the road, would either of them have been feeling like they should have touched something that would make them ritually unclean? The priest couldn't have gone back to work. The Levite couldn't have gone to worship. It would have made everyone around them not want to be around either. Like, oh, I don't want to be around you, priest. You're ritually unclean right now. So socially, there were some challenges. Financially, going to work and going home. All of these things are distractions. I just happened to notice, it's funny how many times I've read this week, and I was reading it just now to you all, and I heard in my vocalization there that the Samaritan was on a journey. And it just struck me that the Samaritan was on a journey through life. We don't know what he was doing, but he was on a journey. And he came across this opportunity. And there was this person who'd been assaulted, stripped of all their dignity and wealth, left for dead. And this one was moved. Moved to not just take action, but to go above and beyond action. You know, my Bible study notes says that not only were these guys enemies, the kids had rubber masks and enemies and everything this morning at Rich Hill. The word in my study notes wasn't just enemy. It says the Samaritans and the people around them hated one another. It literally uses that word. very strong opposition to one another. It occurs to me that we don't even know if the person alongside the road, how could anyone have told what tribe they were from if they didn't have clothing or anything to denote who they were? He didn't really care who that person was. He just wanted to help. Who is your neighbor? It's the one who cares. Jesus tells the man, go and do likewise. So we have this story, and it's easy to pick on the people in it and what they were doing, and all we can find all kinds of flaws in the stuff that the priest and the Levite were doing, because they were busy and preoccupied with things that we get busy and preoccupied with, work and travel and social concerns and financial concerns and purity concerns and all kinds of things like that. But what happens when we pair this with the story of Mary and Martha? Two people who deeply loved Jesus. And the one, Martha, who was serving him. And Jesus says, what about her? She is what? Distracted by many things. In verse 38, it says, while Jesus and his disciples were traveling, they entered a village and Martha welcomed him as a guest. Martha's on the right track. She's doing a good thing, welcoming Jesus. Mary is sitting at the feet of Jesus, also on the right track, because she wants to learn. Martha was the one who stayed very busy. How many people in the room are Marthas, male or female? How many of you are Marthas? I'm a Martha. Guys can be Marthas too. I just keep trying to say that this morning. If you're having a family dinner, how many of you guys are out there getting the lawn ready and the driveway ready and making repairs on stuff that have been broken all year? Okay, you're Marthas. You're busy. Can't we get so busy trying to be prepared that we miss the time with the people that come in? I feel like all of the guests get to socialize, and the hosts don't get to socialize till the guests leave. And we're like, wait, I just now got here. You guys are all leaving. And so Martha says to Jesus, I can't come and sit down because your meal needs to be done. If somebody would just help me, maybe I would have a chance to sit down too, right? And we feel a little bad for Martha because Jesus sort of scolds her. He's like, you know, Martha, you're distracted. And we're like, but that just seems, well, darn it. I'm just trying to do the right thing. Maybe Jesus knew about Martha, something that I feel like many of us might have as a challenge. If she'd have gotten all of the food on the table and everything was ready, do you think she really would have sat down?
No.
Would there have been something else?
Yep.
Wait, the pots and pans probably should soak now. Oh, I did spill some cracker crumbs while I was getting the coating ready. Oh gosh, everybody's tunics are out here. Let me roll up the shoes over by the door. Oh, the water for washing the feet has probably gone cold. You know, we have, well, if I could just get this thing done, I could go and spend time. But then as soon as we get here, we move the finish line. We think of a few other things that we need to do. So maybe Jesus knew that Martha would just find something else that needed done. And because of that, she was a little distracted. We give ourselves new lines to cross before we go and tarry at the cross. Spiritually, we do the same as we do physically in our lives. That's why the road to Jericho was an analogy for life, because it is full of the pitfalls. It is full of places to stumble. It is full of temptations. It is full of distractions. The people on the road have all of these distractions in life, and they may be just going through their day with distractions, but also we can be people of service who want nothing more than to love Jesus Christ and do Jesus' work. And even that can become the distraction that keeps us from actually listening to his voice. Even the work for God can keep us from hearing God's voice. I think we needed to hear both, that life can be the distraction, and also, even when we are serving God, we need to take the time to listen. There are so many things assaulting us each and every day. Thousands of things can keep us away. But we have to be intentional and say, I have to stop moving and doing to hear your voice. So we have done this exercise today. I'm going to give the same precursor as I did before at the other churches. As we try this, please don't fall asleep. I'm going to ask you to close your eyes and take a breath. Imagine inside your being that you seek to hear Jesus just say three simple words, I love you, in your mind, in your heart, in your inmost being. What does the sound of Jesus' voice sound like on your ears? Is his voice deep? Stern? Gentle? Jesus is saying, I love you. What do you hear? Maybe it doesn't even sound like a voice. Maybe it sounds like the ocean, birds. All right, let's open our eyes. In that moment of intent, in that moment of saying, I really want to know what the voice of Jesus sounds like, even then there's distractions, right? I mean, I was talking to you, I was a distraction. Time. Maybe what you're going to do when you leave. All of those things can keep us from hearing the voice. Throughout our day, we have expectations upon us. Work, worries, service that might be pulling us away from hearing the very best thing and the only distraction that we really should allow ourselves in, which is Jesus himself. Everything else distracts us from Jesus. Wouldn't it be nice if, like Jesus, we turned everything backwards and Jesus was the only distraction and everything else was optional? Wouldn't that be cool? So I invite you this week, when everything else is overwhelming, when everything else is pressing on you, instead of saying, I just have to push through, what if we stop? Something I've learned in the last few months is my house might be messy, but you know what? The mess didn't make it fall down yet. And for how many years have I thought that it would? Stop. And breathe. And listen. Listen for what the quality of Jesus' voice is. Listen and look and say, what if in this moment on the journey, you, Jesus, are giving me an opportunity to do something else than what I have been doing. Are you trying to get my attention? So what if I stop doing everything else and sit at your feet and let your voice be the one I hear? The world will give you 1,000 other things and tell you you have to pay attention to those. Those are the distractions. Today, I invite you to decide to let Jesus be the one who captures your attention. Let's pray. Jesus, we do want to know what your voice sounds like. We want to know what you want us to hear. Blessed are those who have seen what the disciples saw in you and heard from you. Let us be a disciple. Let us hear the message, see the places where we need to offer compassion, but also know when we need to stop so that we don't just run right past you in an effort to serve you. Lord, there is going to be things you're going to call upon us to do, and we pray that you will enable us to do those things. But let us do those things with intention of drawing closer to you in the process. Remind us. During this season of introspection, during Lent, so that we can make a practice of this that will last the rest of our lives. Lord, thank you. Amen.